You're listening to Podcaster Practice, brought to you by Springer Healthcare IME. Podcaster Practice brings you expert-led independent medical education discussions, inspiring healthcare professionals to maximize their learning and make measurable changes in their own clinical practice. This podcast is part of an independent medical education program entitled Journey to a New Era for Alzheimer's Disease, and is supported by an independent educational grant from Lilly.
Hello, my name is Oskar Hansson. I'm a professor of neurology from the University in Sweden. I'm here at ADPD in Lisbon, and I will just summarize a little bit of the talks that I found particularly interesting at this conference, and they are about anti-amyloid immunotherapies. So I think there were a lot of talks here that show very similar results. That is, it seems like the earlier you start to treat, the more efficient is the removal of amyloid plaques. And that also correlates to a more beneficial clinical effects of these type of therapies. And that was clear, I think, from the studies that have been done on lecanemab and donanemab, for example. There were some results showing that if you clear all amyloid, as measured by amyloid PET, you have a more beneficial effect. And those that actually, patients that were completely cleared, so they couldn't detect any amyloid plaques anymore after treatment, were more of those that did not have so much amyloid when they started the trial, or not so much tau when they started the trial. So indicating that the earlier you treat, the better it is. But they actually also found, a bit surprisingly, that the more older patients actually responded better than the younger ones when it came to amyloid clearance. And that is probably, at least I think, that because the blood-brain barrier might be more open in elderly people, so more of the antibody actually passes the blood-brain barrier and can remove the amyloid plaques. So I think that is very encouraging for future trials that are ongoing, really looking at these antibodies also in people with preclinical disease. But that will take another 2, 3, 4 years until we have those results. Another thing that was very encouraging is the development of blood-based biomarkers. And there are some studies showing that you can use, especially phospho-tau217, to identify those that are amyloid positive, but that can then enter the trial. So you don't need to screen people with amyloid PET, but just with simple blood test before they can enter the trial. I think that's very encouraging. However, another thing that will be very important in clinical practice is to see when your patient have all the plaques removed, so you can maybe stop treating or maybe not treat so often. And that can definitely, of course, be done with amyloid PET imaging. We were hoping it could be done also with blood tests, but that seems actually not to be the case. So the change in amyloid PET is not fully, you can say, revealed by change in increased blood-based biomarkers. We still will need to continue following our patients with amyloid PET if we want to know which patients have no plaques left after treatment or not. So I think that was the highlights, and I'm very interested, of course, to follow this field, and especially, of course, to see how are these treatments working in people that are not yet symptomatic.
Thank you for listening to Podcaster Practice, brought to you by Springer Healthcare IME. For more information on our educational programs available, visit ime.springerhealthcare.com.